Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
We're killing it.
Kill it dead.
Yeah.
With fire.
And ice.
Ooh, hot and cold, Katy Perry.
Yeah, exactly. That's. I didn't realise that she was such a Game of Thrones fan when she sang that song.
Mm.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 29.
Huge.
Oh my gosh, episode 30 is next week. Think of all the things that we'll forget to do.
Oh, like what?
Like having jugglers in the studio.
Sure.
We'll forget that.
Yeah.
We'll also forget to get the, I was going to get a whole heap of elephants to come in and like trumpet, but use trumpets.
Sure.
With their trunks.
Like. That's some Dumbo level shit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
My friend who's a mime is going to come in.
That's going to be so good.
For radio.
Yeah. It's he is an award-winning mime artist.
Yep.
We will be talking about quite a few different shows. Of course, we've got our stuff that we'll be mentioning in the spoiler section. Fear.
Westworld.
Westworld. Handmaids. That's all coming up. A fun little quiz as well, which I don't want to talk about too much now because it's always nice to have
spoilers.
Yeah, exactly, to make it spoilerish. But we do have some news stories coming your way. I saw that you have a very long list of news.
So much news.
What's your first one?
All right. Well, because it's the quiet period where there's no new shows and stuff like that,
yeah.
But there's still plenty of news coming out. So there's some news around shows coming back. I know you'll be happy to hear. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
Season 5 will be dropping January 25th, 2019.
So excited about that. I was actually watching a couple of Kimmy Schmidt episodes from season 3, I think they were. Mm-hmm. You know when you just want something in the background that you don't have to watch because you've seen before?
Yep.
And one of them was the episode where Maya Rudolph is in it. I think she's completely underrated, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah.
I just think she should be in everything.
Yeah.
But she was playing Dionne Warwick, and Titus had this horrible memory that he had eaten Dionne Warwick? Warwick? What, Warwick? Warwick, yeah. Very hilarious episode, as they all are, but it made me think, oh, I wonder what's going on with that next episode. So next season, so brilliant.
Sure, yeah. Well, season 4 came out, I think, last week?
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of fanfare all around it, which made
very
me
quiet.
Slightly nervous over the quality.
Same.
But yes, they've confirmed that the... I don't know if it's second half of season 4 properly.
I think it is. I think that's what it technically is. But, yeah, it's so far in the future, they might as well just call it another season.
Either way, your Australia Day plans are now sorted.
Exactly. Do not ask me to any barbecues.
Mm-hmm. House of Cards, the last season has wrapped production.
Right. Now, this season, of course, will be completely different to any of the others.
Yes.
In terms of who's not there.
That's right. Robin Wright's in charge.
I think... when all the controversy happened around Kevin Spacey, obviously the writers, producers, whatnot, went into panic mode. But they were lucky enough to have created Robin Wright's character.
Oh, hell yeah.
To be able to easily move into that. I mean, I often thought that she was more evil than he was. More scheming, driven than he was.
There's a lot of connivingness.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's great that they're able to shift it that way.
Yep.
So that fans can have that little extra goodbye. Get some closure.
Ta-ta.
Storyline-wise.
Ta-ta. Look, I know we mentioned it. I think it was last week I mentioned it, but The Good Place, their podcast.
Yeah.
First episode dropped.
How'd you go watching it, listening to it, I mean?
It's fantastic. It's nearly an hour-long episode.
Gee, I didn't think it'd be that long.
Yeah, and it's with Mark Evan Jackson.
How's he go as a podcaster?
Well, very interestingly, even though he's very deadpan. He gets very excited, animated.
Great.
And the first episode is with Mike Schur, who's the show creator and showrunner. And he and Mark are old friends. They've worked on a lot of shows together, so this is really great banter.
Mm.
But within 10 minutes, they're having very heady discussions about the nature of ethics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're treating it like this, like a Lost or like one of those shows where they can deep dive into the ethical debates going on in each episode. And it's just a very interesting discussion for about 20 minutes about when he was creating the show, of progressing from being interested in religion to separating religion, the religion's focus on the afterlife, instead of just being ethical debates around the afterlife. And that's when the show unlocked for him.
Fantastic. I do like that there appears to be so much hype in the build-up to this third season.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like because it's been on Netflix and that you can just binge whole two seasons, they've picked up a lot of extra watchers, a lot of extra audience there.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
It's funny watching them still dance around the spoiler.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, good on them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not being out and out about it. And look, they have Darcy, who plays Janet, and Ted Danson. Who's Michael? They do all the stings and the intros and stuff for it, and it's a lot of fun.
I like that.
There's a great discussion about how Janet, good Janet, bad Janet, came to be.
Oh, great.
Originally, she was just going to be a kiosk, and they walk up and press a button, and there's a robotic.
Like, so it wasn't even going to be a person?
No, it's going to be a Siri interface.
Yeah, right.
And then they discovered they could have a lot more fun if it was a person.
Yeah.
And in trying to define their her character, They've actually found it easier to talk about what she is not. So you'll never actually get a straight answer as to what Janet is. You only get things that Janet is not.
What Janet
not a
is
girl,
not.
Not a woman, not a machine, not a computer.
I did see Darcy in one of those dance song moment scenes in My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Sure.
And I went, oh, that's a very, very small scene. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's before The Good Place, because if not, they would have really made most of
the
fact that she was in it. Yeah. Janet's probably one of my favourite characters.
Me too.
Such a great show. And it's great to hear that the podcast has kicked off with some quality content.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it's going to be a weekly podcast, because I'll happily spend an hour a week listening to behind the scenes action on that.
People are always keen to pick up an extra podcast to jump in on. I did see that Heathers, which was that 80s movie.
Oh, I know Heathers.
Yeah, and a lot of people know Heathers. It's been a long time since I watched it, but I was not aware of the fact that they have made a TV version, TV show version. Paramount Network. I think that, I can't remember what that network used to be called over in the US, but it changed to Paramount Network sometime recently.
Sure.
Anyway, it's not going to see the light of day on any Viacom-owned cable platform because of what's in it, the storyline, the fact that you've got kids with guns at high schools and everything, and of course after the several school shootings
weekly,
pretty much it's horrendous. So over in the US, they're going to sort of hold off on it, but they did say that they still are keen to get it on television.
Okay,
because they've written, I think they've made the first season and they've already written the second season, and it's all supposed to make sense. So I guess they're sort of holding off, waiting for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Some closure, and then hopefully
they'll never find it
if it's a weekly thing. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was kind of interesting, that a movie that was fine in the late 80s can now suddenly have a TV show with the exact same sort of content, I would imagine,
mm-hmm.
not be able to be screened now.
Oh, look, but I watched The Goonies with my daughter recently.
Yeah, right.
I put that out today. That might be M.
Really?
There's so much swearing.
Is this? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
And I've only watched it recently. I must have blocked it all out. But did she love the movie? Like, it's got such a fun storyline.
On the whole. She's only five, so she's a little bit young.
Bit scary when the baddies are chasing them.
Yeah, she wasn't sure of Sloth at first and then came around and this sort of stuff. So there were some moments that bothered her.
Mm.
She just wanted to watch School of Rock again.
Yeah, fair enough. Priorities.
Speaking of dope old movies getting remade.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, it was a movie, but not Breakfast Club.
I was very excited.
The Babysitter's Club.
Babysitter's Club, yeah, say hello to your friends. It was a movie. It was a movie, it was a TV show, of course. It was about 420,000 books.
It was like Goosebumps.
Oh,
that
was
one of those cultural things.
It was it.
Well, it's coming back for a new series. I don't know if it's a full reboot or what they're doing with it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
all I know is that the two people behind it are people that have been involved in Broad City and Glow. So that sounds like it's ticking your boxes.
Yes, they are two shows already I can see that they have the potential of not only picking up the preteen, teen audience, but also the people riding the nostalgia train.
That's right.
Like, I want to watch it now just to see what it's like.
They're ticking both boxes.
Yeah.
It's very clever. So that sounds pretty promising.
Yeah, that's good.
Also promising, James Gunn posted a photo yesterday. He's the director and writer of the Guardians of the Galaxy films, that he's hard at work at Guardians 3.
Oh, great.
So it sounds like he's got some inside info on what happens at the end of Avengers 4.
Because I want to know exactly when in the whole timeline this Guardians 3 movie is taking place. Because if it's after Infinity War, then that's going to really, yeah, that they're going to have to reveal a lot of stuff in the lead up.
Technically, it could be before Avengers 3 because Guardians 2 was set in 2014.
Yeah, it's a couple of years ago.
So it's set 4 years ago. That's how Groot went from being tiny baby infant Groot to teenage Groot.
To teenage, yeah.
So they could potentially do something there. I don't think they will. I think it'll be after.
I think they need to sort of continue the momentum and get the hype going. For the next Avengers movie. And I think that Guardians is what will sort of kick it off. Because there's so much in that Guardian storyline, in that group, that I want to know more about.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential. But like, Marvel's kicking a lot of ass. I was reading something there over the weekend that Avengers Infinity War is currently sitting at $1.96 billion US.
That is a stupid amount.
Which is crazy and really, really up there as one of the highest earners. I can't top five.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2 is actually doing really well. And in the course of the next week and a half, it should overtake Ready Player One and Operation Red Sea to make it the third largest earning film of the year.
Amazing.
Which means Marvel is the currently holds the top three earners.
They're still the big gun. Yeah.
Avengers, Black Panther, Deadpool 2.
I keep forgetting Black Panther came out this year. It seems like so long ago.
Yes. So Avengers just took a title from Jurassic World. And next week, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom comes out. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I'm really amped for this film.
I just think that all of this is great news for audience. Yeah. For the audiences. I mean, this is quality big time stuff getting thrown in our direction for us to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And it's a crazy Spanish horror director doing this next
Jurassic
World.
Yes, it is too.
And it's going to be really dark, I think.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
I'm happy to.
I remember watching Jurassic Park as a teenager, maybe a bit younger, and people saying before I watched it, it's quite scary because of the dinosaurs, and getting excited about how it was going to be. A little bit scary, a little bit exciting as well. And if they can bring that back in this movie, brilliant.
This should give you an idea of what led to me being so nerdy now. So
okay.
That film came out when I was 9.
Yep.
I had already read the book twice.
Really?
Horrible book. Very, very adult book. My mum took me to see it. First screening on opening day. Very excited.
It was huge. There was so much hype around that movie. I remember.
It was awesome. But during the scene where Robert Muldoon, who's the big game hunter, he's down on one knee, he's got the rifle out, he's hunting one of the velociraptors. They pop up either side of him. He says, "Clever girl." My mum covered my eyes.
Oh, really?
And I still to this day haven't forgiven her. My dad.
She did it for your own good.
I was that distraught that my dad had to take me back.
Wow.
Like the next day, I think, to see it, so I could watch that scene because I was just so angry at her.
She can't live it down ever, can she?
Nope.
Damn.
Nope.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
So Julian Dennison. Who you would know from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah,
and also was real great in Deadpool 2.
Yes, got a lot of great feedback, great reviews just for his performance.
Yes, well, his assault on American cinema to make it bigger is continuing.
Amazing.
He's just been added to the cast of Godzilla vs. Kong.
Ooh, hello.
Which is coming out in 2020. And he will be starring alongside the star of Godzilla King of the Monsters, which comes out next year.
Yes.
So this is all part of the Godzilla King Kong monster universe.
Ever since whenever the first King Kong and Godzilla came out, there's been interest around.
Oh, yeah. And there's been a lot of... There's been the fantastic ones of Destroy All Monsters, which is Godzilla helping us to fight back and this sort of stuff. So we had... Godzilla, we had Kong, which was set in the 70s, and that finished and had teasers for stuff coming. Mm. This one, Godzilla King of the Monsters, comes out next year and stars Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And then she will be starring with Julian Dennison in Godzilla vs. Kong in 2020.
Look, two stellar young actors there.
Yeah.
That is...
A strong...
That is, that's actually got me feeling pretty happy about that.
I really hope there's a moment where Julian gets picked up by King Kong. He's like, "Oi, piss off, Kong."
I hope so too.
You know what I mean? Like, he's got to keep the Kiwi accent. I don't think he can not do the Kiwi accent.
No, that's what he's there for.
Godzilla, get out of her. if there's a bit of that, that will be ace.
Oh, too good.
Some Disney action that had me pumped. I think, did you see the trailer for Wreck-It Ralph 2 that came out this morning?
How much fun is that trailer?
So good.
Like from the second, I think within the first 30 seconds, they've nailed not only visual style there, it's got you excited. There's lots of colours, but the energy and the pace is just, it makes you, like I was smiling watching it.
Daft Punk thrown in the mix, get that love robot that action. Ralph discovers Wi-Fi, so they go to the internet. And so what we've seen in that trailer looks great. The first film in the trailer had the big showy scene with Ralph discussing, you know, having therapy with the other video game bad guys. This one looks like Vanellope, the female character, gets to have a bit of therapy with Disney princesses.
And they made sure to show as many of the Disney princesses as possible. Yeah. And obviously it was, I only watched it once, so it was, I didn't have time to check, but I was paying mainly attention to the Frozen characters who made an appearance. And I think that's their actual voices.
I'm pretty sure they got as many of the original actors to come back into their
phenomenal
voices.
It's great. Now, we didn't see, and there's no mention of it, but I wonder if we may get a little sort of cameo. Don't know how they'll do it, but they potentially could. There's a Disney princess I didn't see in that, and that was Princess Leia. There's Star Wars, there's Stormtroopers in there.
There were. So that would be amazing.
How good would that be?
Yeah, that would give people shivers.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope they do it.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
That would be very, very cool. Also, Incredibles 2 comes out in a couple of weeks.
Gee, that's soon.
It is.
I remember the whole, it's coming, but 2 weeks. I guess it makes sense. It's summer in the US.
That's right. Yeah. So it's a couple of weeks to go. But in case you've forgotten, because it has been 14 years since the last one, Disney have very handily put out a recap summary of the first Incredibles film in emoji form.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So I love trying to read those.
It's floating around on Facebook. I had a good chuckle this morning watching that come together.
Yeah.
The emojis for Dash, who's the very fast boy.
Okay.
Quite hilarious.
All right, I'm excited about that. And look, speaking of franchises and little mentions of it, Harry Potter's Neville Longbottom, a.k.a. Matthew Lewis, he got married to his GF over in Italy.
So dreamy.
Must have been on the weekend. I know, he's very dreamy. It's just, it's a stark difference.
Oh, yeah.
Between what he looked like then and what he looks like now.
And I will go on record saying Neville Longbottom is my favourite Harry Potter character.
He's so funny, and he's not even in it. Well, the earlier movies, he's not in it very much.
Up until the last book, I was convinced that it was going to be a Swiftie was being pulled on us, and it was going to end up being about Neville all along, because he was born on the same night as Harry.
That's right.
His parents were attacked in a similar way.
Yeah.
There was a lot of suggestions saying that he could be important. And he did end up being damn important.
Yeah, he was.
God damn, he looks tough wielding that sword in the final battle.
Love it. So good.
Neville fucking Longbottom. I mentioned to you before, he appeared on an episode of Impractical Jokers. He was a substitute when one of the guys couldn't play.
Now, how did he go in it?
Fantastic. It was at Universal Studios on the Jurassic Park ride.
Obviously recently, so it was hot.
I think it was about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And he was locked into the ride for 10 minutes and they were speaking in the earpiece and he had to say everything. And he said everything. Probably the best performance by a non-joker on
the
show.
That's so good. Do you reckon they'll get him back?
Oh, for sure. They've said they'd love to get him back.
Oh, perfect.
But he does a lot of stuff for Universal Florida, especially.
Oh, okay.
They've got him and Luna Lovegood, a couple of people that they kind of have on standby and call. Mm. The two older Weasley twins.
I have a feeling his now wife is from Florida.
Sure.
So maybe they work together when he's there, or I'm not sure.
It wouldn't surprise me. But he's down there, they go down for, they have visiting weekends and this sort of
stuff.
Cool,
that's
down there
so fun.
All the time.
Yeah, yep. That's great.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What else have you got?
Nothing other than, we should talk about Rick leaving Walking Dead.
Oh, yes, we should talk about that. Now, obviously, that story came out last week, but it's still making quite a lot of waves over the internet machine. Andrew Lincoln is out after this season, or some way through season.
He's only booked for 6 episodes, which is the same that Lauren is.
AKA Maggie, yeah. So I don't know what's going to go on. I mean, the thing is, if a character leaves a show like The Walking Dead, they can only leave one way.
Yeah.
That's through a death.
Unless you're Heath.
That's true. Who just went, I'm just going to go down this road. I'll be back in a minute.
Guys, I'll be back in about 24
Exactly. About 24. Yeah, he just took off.
He's not coming back soon because 24 got picked up from another
season.
Oh,
did? Okay. I would have.
Whether he's involved or not, I don't know.
He may, if Heath wants to continue doing more Walking Dead stuff, he may as well walk to Texas and hang out with the Fear the Walking Dead guys because...
It's a lot more fun.
Yeah. I saw that people were they were making jokes about the fact that it's okay because if Rick's gone, then they can really focus on that Carl storyline.
Oh, like I've been saying, yeah, great.
Because Carl was supposed to, after the time jump, which is what we're going to get here, the story was actually supposed to focus around him.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
And now they're saying instead that Daryl will be promoted to be the main character.
Oh man, yeah, this is I know for people who had tuned out of The Walking Dead a couple of seasons ago, they're probably going, well, The Walking Dead's pretty much dead for me, but I think this is sort of the writing's on the wall for the series, but at least zombie fans of the zombie genre can always hang on to Fear at the moment because that is a very strong storyline that they've got going on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that the Mountain from Game of Thrones is actually the world's strongest man.
Ah, awesome.
Yeah, he won the world's strongest man competition in the Philippines. He was calling himself Thor there, but I think to sort of get rid of any sort of confusion, we're going to continue to call him the Mountain.
Mm.
But he had to do things like the giant dumbbell press, the Atlas stones, I don't even know what that means, the car deadlift, the truck pull, the loading race. Now, the bloke's 6'9", 192 kilos, that's 425 pounds. He's a big unit.
He must have a very strong toilet.
He's got industrial strength. He's an Icelandic guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He would not be if he went to a barbecue like someone in a backyard. He's not sitting on those plastic chairs that have been sitting in the sun.
No,
he's not doing it.
No, it didn't embarrass me much, but I went to my daughter's. She did a Christmas concert last year.
Yeah, right.
And they had those crappy little chairs for kids, and I sat down on it. Oh, it was fine. And then halfway through a song, it got to a really quiet point, and I turned slightly in my chair to get a better angle, and the chair snapped. And I fell, and I ended up taking out a bunch of other chairs too, including my dad's.
Oh, no.
So can you just imagine how many concerts he would disrupt? Also, my daughter said it was the most embarrassing moment of her life.
Oh, my God.
That's great. Thanks.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I imagine his life would be a constant struggle with phones.
His thumbs are far too big to use them. He'd need to use one of those big iPads as his phone.
Yeah. He probably just screams a lot. Big. Like he'd have a megaphone.
I don't think I've ever heard him speak.
Well, he's dead.
Well, yeah, I mean apart from that reason, but has he ever has that version of the character spoken?
I don't think so. He might have said a few things to
Cersei or
no, Pedro. What's his name? The thumbs in the eyes, boomtown head guy.
Yeah, I love how you call him Pedro because
that's his real name.
Yeah,
Pedro Pascal. I think he's got a kid with Cersei.
Does he?
Or they were dating for a while?
No,
if they're
do
not
you know
together.
Who was dating Cersei?
Yeah.
Bronn.
Oh, that's way back in the day.
Yeah, they're not even in scenes together.
That was the part of their contract. That
amazing.
They can never appear in a scene together.
I didn't. Now, it made me want to go back and watch all scenes with both of them in it to see if the fact that those two.
Well, that's why Bronn awkwardly leaves when they finally all met in the dragon pit.
That's right. He's like, I'm just going to go over here and
not be near my ex.
Look at the flowers.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Mountain said a few things to when he was alive, but he hasn't spoken in, what, 3 seasons?
No, I don't even think he's grunted, has he?
Not since death.
Yeah, yeah.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
That's all the news I've got, but I've been watching a few different shows.
Sure, what have you been
older
watching?
Older stuff, actually. I jumped back into Black Books, decided to randomly pick an episode and just start watching that again.
Little Book of Calm.
I actually watched one where they're pretending that they know how to play the piano. Bailey is actually
a genius.
He's literally in the piano with spoons playing. I remember seeing Bill Bailey years ago live, and I only sort of knew him from, obviously, Black Books, and I knew that he did bits and pieces, but live he is phenomenal.
He's so good.
He is unbelievably talented. It's just exhausting to watch some guy who's that good at what he does. Made me feel a bit jealous, to be honest with you.
He was a guest judge on the Lego Builders, Master Builders show.
He would have been awesome. How was he?
Really good.
He'd be into Lego. Yeah.
So into it.
He's a very clever man.
Yes, he was. So clever. He was judging that they had to build nature scenes to take out and put in a park.
Yeah, fun.
And yeah, he was just, he's like, it's combining my two loves, bird watching and Lego. Let's do this.
Let's do this thing. Yep. I like watching those kind of shows again, like Black Books, where you know that you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're enjoying it, but you don't necessarily remember all the jokes.
And it's very good to have on the background while you're doing other things.
Exactly.
I've been doing that with Arrested Development lately.
Oh, yeah, perfect show for that.
Yeah.
What else have you been watching?
So I watched two new shows. Well, I say new. One of them is on season two or something like that. The other one is a reboot version.
Ooh.
So the season two one is called Extreme Cake Masters. No, sorry, Extreme Cake Makers.
I know Steph would love to watch that.
Yep. It's
that is
just
right
people making fancy cakes. And it's not one cake for a whole episode. It's only 20-minute episodes, and they show a couple of ones. This first episode I watched, someone made a British bulldog on a crown, like on a throne.
That's
with
so
a crown.
Cool.
It was for a British dog show.
That's so cool.
Maybe a cake show. I don't know.
What about a British cake show for dogs?
That sounds promising.
Yeah.
That's got legs. Yeah.
Four of them.
I'd throw that a bone. But, yeah, there was a British bulldog, a chameleon.
Oh, yeah.
Someone made like a 2.5-foot-long
nice.
Chameleon. Was very, very involved. Another one was like a wedding tower with built-in iPads in a cake.
That's so random.
So they could show the wedding video.
That's so cool.
It was very, very cool.
Wow.
Another one, a woman who's a cake maker who made a mermaid cake for her daughter's birthday. Just casual four-tier cake.
Boring.
Yep.
Meanwhile, like, our mums are busy putting Smarties on the cake.
If anyone is listening from Australia and wants to argue the fact that the Women's Weekly Kids...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
...cake book was... Yep. That's the best publication
ever. It's the book.
Yep.
It's still out there.
It holds
still
up.
Buy it.
Cakes are still great.
I flicked through one recently and I could pick at least 3 or 4 cakes that I remember having. And I went, oh, I want that pirate one again.
Well,
let's get the piano one going.
Look, I definitely had my taste buds fired up this week because the other one I watched was the new version of Man vs. Food.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Adam back on there?
Nope.
Really?
I think he became a vegan, but he's skinny and not into it anymore.
Okay.
So that's fine. There's a new guy. He's a redhead. I don't remember his name. He's very excitable and enjoys hamming it up for the camera.
So he's doing exactly what that show needs.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yep. He does this awkward thing where he talks to the camera a lot more than he talks to the person he's interviewing, so we'll be like, ask them a question,
awkward.
But keep looking at the camera.
That's not fun.
So it's
little
bit
funny. It's not a kids' daytime TV show like Cartoon Connection.
No.
You can calm that one down a bit.
But the dude gets amped about eating lots of food, and I'm on board with it.
Good on him.
Yeah,
that's what that show needs.
I'm glad it's come back because that's.
I would watch that all the time.
It's a comfortable blanket of a show.
It really is.
You put it on the background. It's a guy stoked to be enjoying burgers
and having breakfast burritos the size of actual pillows. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
We had to eat a 2.5-foot Subway type roll.
That's insane.
I could do that.
I don't know how people do it.
I mean,
I'm impressed.
I've eaten 2 foot of Subway by mistake once.
How do you accidentally eat that much?
I thought I ordered 2 6-inch, but I ordered 2 foot long, and I was hungry, so I just powered through it.
How'd you go? Was there like some sort of food coma at the end?
No.
Wow. I'm impressed.
I can put it away.
So if you go to Vegas and you go to one of those buffets, do you see it as a challenge, not a pleasure?
No. So when I've got to serve myself, I'm actually very conservative.
Really?
It's when a meal comes that's larger than expected.
Right.
And I'm hungry, I'm going to go in on it.
Mm.
So I had 3 Philly cheesesteak at once.
What is that? I've heard of it. I've never had it before.
Okay. Kind of like a hot dog, but instead of a sausage, is steak, shredded steak.
Okay.
And then greasy cheese melted in with onion and It's like a hot dog, but it's like all these places going wanky with pulled pork.
Yeah.
But it's legit just strips of steak.
That sounds amazing.
And it's pretty good, but some places you can get a variant, which is a turkey version, and holy shit.
Really?
Yeah, Philly
really?
Turkey, like cheese turkey is the bomb.
I would just assume beef is the way to go.
Beef is great. Don't get me wrong. Turkey. It's really turkey was just next level. Mm-hmm. Like I fuck with turkey, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a turkey sandwich any day of the week. But it's, oh boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cuz turkey's big over there.
Mhm.
Way more big than here. Like here's sort of, should we get a turkey for Christmas?
Exactly.
Yeah, might as well.
And if I'm buying meats for the week for sandwiches and stuff, I normally sneak a turkey and hide it in the back of the fridge.
Oh, so no one else has it?
No one else really wants it, but I want to make sure.
Yeah, just in case, because you don't want to be thinking about it all day and then get to lunchtime and go, all right, I'm going to make that turkey sandwich, and it just doesn't exist.
It's like when you wake up at 3 a.m. and you're peckish, you go downstairs and you might eat a Tim Tam or something like that. Yep. I just have a slice of turkey, go back to bed.
Gotta go savory. Mm-hmm. I have to.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've got no pants on.
I watched a show, well, it was a web series on iView. I saw someone recommend it, I don't know, Facebook, something like that, one of my friends, and it was called Fucking Adelaide.
Fucking Adelaide.
I think there was about 6 episodes. There weren't that many because I watched it all in one go. The episodes were probably about 18 minutes long, something like that.
Sure.
It sort of, to me, came across as the kind of show that the people who were in it were probably the creators.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't delved too much into it because I had to spend quite a lot of the first episode getting over the fact that Pamela Rabe, I think is how you pronounce her last name, R-A-B-E, a.k.a. Joan Ferguson, a.k.a. the freak from Wentworth, was in it.
Sure.
And she was playing the mother, therefore not like some psychotic, crazy, evil person that she is in Wentworth. So it took me a while to get over that. Also, I did see that Tilda, what's her last
Swinton?
Name? No, not Tilda Swinton, but I understand why you would think that. Tilda Coben-Hervey, she was in the Kettering incident.
Right.
A couple of years ago now. And I thought, I'm like, I know that face. I know that face. I literally had to pause the show because it was driving me crazy. I had to figure out who she was. I'm like, oh, you're from the Kettering incident. So there are a few known faces in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a family. There are three siblings and a mother. And the two older siblings go back to Adelaide because their mother has told them to.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tells them that she is selling the house and they need to get all the crap out of it. And it's it opens up a bit about the family history. It's funny, it's sad, it's a bit of all of it, and it's very watchable. So if you want to watch some Aussie stuff, I think it only came out on iView a couple of weeks ago.
How often does someone say fucking Adelaide?
Every single episode.
Yeah, good. That's a hook for me.
Every single episode. And funnily enough, I wasn't quite sure how to type it into IMDb to check the, you know, who exactly Kitty was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally just you have to type fucking into it.
Okay.
Because IMDb doesn't care, obviously. I also watched an old movie from the early 90s called My Own Private Idaho. Now, I'd heard of it for years.
Sure.
You know, it's got River Phoenix,
Keanu Reeves. I saw that 25 years ago or something like that.
If I watched it back then, I probably wouldn't have gotten it.
Yep.
And I got like it was no sort of confusion. The storyline's pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the movie that had Keanu and River Phoenix become mates, because they were really good mates before River passed away.
Yeah.
But there was a moment during the movie where I thought, is this a play? Is this based on a play?
Sure.
Because you know how dialogue in plays are a lot different to movie or TV mm-hmm. show dialogue, which is why I remember watching, this is years ago, 6 Degrees of Separation, and thinking, this is a play. And no, My Own Private Idaho is not a play, but it's based on, it's one of the Henry the Somethings, a Shakespeare
sure.
play.
Sure.
And that made me remember that you had said that Keanu Reeves is a huge Shakespeare fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if this is either the catalyst for his interest or the or if Shakespeare was the reason that he was interested in doing this movie.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything because obviously it's so old. I couldn't find anything to sort of let me know either way, but he was in those scenes and I could tell he was really in his mind. He was on the stage.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
So young. He looks so young in it.
Sure.
And obviously he is. But I just remember My Own Private Idaho coming out and he was already a name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how long
he's been around.
Keanu's been around. And this was years before The Matrix.
Yeah, Matrix was what, 99?
And I think this was maybe 91.
Sure.
Something like that. Because I think River Phoenix passed away in about 93.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed to be there. But interesting movie and definitely worth watching again, if for no other reason but to see Flea. In it. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers is in it.
He loves popping up in things.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing there? He just played Flea. Yeah, basically. But he was sort of a druggy homeless guy, which is what they were as well. And he was sort of on the crazier cusp.
Sure.
But River Phoenix plays this character who has like this extreme form of narcolepsy where he just falls asleep whenever a stressful situation happens. And he's kind of like a male prostitute.
Oh.
And if things get stressful, he just passes out in front of his customers.
Oh, gosh.
And other situations. Really full-on movie, but very interesting. I saw it on Foxtel, so it's probably around.
Nice.
Watch it again.
Very
it's
nice.
Worth watching older movies and TV shows again.
Most of the time.
Yeah, other times you just get really sad. You think, oh, I really loved that movie, and now it's really not good.
It doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up at all.
No. Look, I've done a little bit of catching up on things. I caught up on Colony. I'd fallen two or three episodes behind. And we finally saw a fucking alien.
Finally?
Yeah, only we're halfway through season three. And we've finally seen what one of the bad guys is.
Because the even the trailer for this sort of told you that there was something like an alien invasion that had happened. And funnily enough, that is coming to Foxtel a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I saw
the ad for it because I haven't been watching it. So I'm going to jump on board when it comes out because I find it really easy just to press the R button and
have it there ready for
just
you.
Just have it record it for me.
Well, the twist of this is we met an alien, but it might not be a bad alien. It might
Ooh.
The ones that have come and invaded us might actually be trying to help us prepare for the worst ones coming.
Really?
Yeah.
This everything you've talked about with this TV show is just everything I should enjoy in a TV show.
It's really good. I mean, some of the acting's a bit cheesy on there. There's a couple of kids involved in this sort of stuff,
okay.
But the big shift to go and film up in British Columbia this year, whereas mm-hmm. the last two seasons were in LA.
Yep.
They're really making the most out of it, and it's
all sort of foresty.
Yeah, very much rebellion on the
Brilliant.
Run. Feels like Andor.
Like, yeah, right.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, nice. Stuff. So you're expecting a couple of Ewoks to wander out.
I keep thinking, yub, yub.
Yep, 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 yep.
Few little guys. And the other one, and this is, it was horribly sad in a great way, but Chris Gethard's show, which I've talked about plenty of times before, is the chaotic live show where anything can happen.
Mm.
Most recent episode, they had Paul Rudd on.
Yep.
Who's known as the Kiss of Death.
I didn't know he was known as that.
Well, he was on the finale of Friends.
Yeah, he was in the... Yeah.
Maybe Melrose Place or... There's been a lot of different, like three or four different shows that he's popped up on what has ended up being the last episode.
Oh, wow.
So he was the guest on the show and they were joking about it and there's been no news about them being about the show being picked up for another season.
Awkward.
And the episode was called Stop Apologizing for Your Dreams. And it was all about positive affirmation, ring in, and we're going to life coach you why you should start doing that thing you really want to do.
Yep.
And then the host, who's always very emotional and open about stuff and looks on the verge of tears nearly every week, his ending statements was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen from a late night host. Because normally that stuff, a lot of it's contrived or a lot of it's still got to dance within network rules and stuff.
Hmm.
Whereas this guy's been doing the show for 10 years. It was on public access for years before and they're chaotic and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was just very open about how, look, he achieved his dream, but don't be sad for him because he has other things that he wants to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That his one hope, his one takeaway from all of this is that if he can inspire one other person to follow their dreams and then he hears in the future that that person achieved their dreams, then it was all worthwhile.
Oh, that's really nice, yeah.
It was really, really touching and open. And for all we know, they're going to get picked up for another season.
True.
But it doesn't look great. They didn't get great ratings and stuff like that. And it's a weird show. The show only works when it fails.
Okay. As ridiculous as that. I know what you mean. Yeah.
The better an episode is, the more it goes off the rails they planned. And that's not a good thing for network television to bank
no,
on.
No, they don't like that.
No. So I can see why there's a lot of nerves around it. Mm. If you've never checked out any of the Chris Gethard show, that is not the episode to watch to start.
I see.
You need...
Yeah. Just try and go back a bit.
Oh, there's a lot of in-jokes. Like the guy that writes notes on the blackboard behind him is in Speedos and goggles. He's called a human fish. And he only talks in haikus. And there's a lot of weird shit about this show.
That's brilliant.
But it's a nice little community type thing. And it's one of those, once you get the jokes, you're in on the circle sort of stuff. And I know it has quite a following down here because when they do the live callers and stuff, he'll regularly get someone from Melbourne or Adelaide or
amazing.
Something like that.
So watching, you mean fucking Adelaide.
you know, people watching online and calling in live on the show and this sort of stuff. So I really hope it comes back. Because it's one of those shows that every week when it's on, I press play and I think, this is going to be rubbish. And every 2 or 3 weeks, I'm floored by how amazing the show is.
So fingers crossed. And I wonder if, because it has such a big online audience, if they could go to online.
They've been.
And would they go back?
Nope, I don't think so.
So you think if it's done...
I think if it's not picked up by a network again, it's done because they spent years on public access
and then
moved to online. And he's done it all. There's no...
So this will be the end.
Yeah. It's either more continue what they're doing or wrap it up there and try something else. And he's all right. Like he was in Mike Birbiglia's movie about the improv comedy troupe about 2 years ago and like got lauded with... great awards and this sort of stuff for his performance. So he's okay.
It could be, it could end up being a moment where he lets go of something and starts picking up a whole heap of other stuff, jumping onto other things.
Yeah, seeing some more interesting stuff for him.
Anything else you've been watching apart from our spoiler section?
I watched Transformers 1 through 4 this week.
Now, you did mention this to me. first one. You
first
left smiling.
Good.
Good stuff.
Second one starts getting rubbish. Third one's pretty rubbish. Fourth one's so bad.
Did you get through it all?
Oh, I was watching it while I was doing stuff.
Okay.
And there were points where I was watching it whilst reading, intently reading. So it was more just that it was on in the room.
Okay. Yeah, that's an indication.
But I just thought I'd enjoy a study of an exercise of diminishing returns.
Yeah, that's sad.
So I've still got number 5 to go. But I have...
You still have to pick the book to read whilst...
Yeah, I still haven't seen number 5, which is strange, because I do enjoy the Transformers films.
I've only seen the first one.
Anthony Hopkins is in it. And
is he really?
Yeah, and it's a good week for Hopkins.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1... You have been warned.
Okay, Westworld.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions.
But did you notice, and this is what they do in Westworld, they actually carried some storylines on to give us some answers.
Yeah.
But then I knew as I was watching that I was going to be left with more questions than the answers that I got. but so much stuff happened. And... of course, the return of Anthony Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Ford is back. We did see him at the last episode of... the last couple of moments of the last episode.
Old friend.
Exactly. And that this is where I guess we should have seen. Of course Westworld was going to end up being digital. Of course it was. How did I not even think that was going to happen?
Well, I don't know. There was a lot of... connections made, things that people assumed, but they made it very clear that the robots want to be human and the humans want to be robots.
It's brilliant.
And that's it's now
and that's
clear.
Where that's where the story is going. So we now have pretty much the robots are still, or the hosts, are still on this mission, Dolores style.
Get to the valley beyond.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You've also got the humans who it almost felt like they were sort of down for the count a little bit at the end of this episode, sort of. We did see them lose a fair bit of their security team, yep. Quite a lot of them.
Teddy just made that one guy not exist anymore.
That was him. That was. I thought he's not going to stop punching him. That's going to keep going.
They didn't show the head, which is unusual for Westworld.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm. It did almost give me flashbacks to the mountain and the Game of Thrones watermelon scene, but Teddy decided to go punching style. I was excited to see how the scene between Dolores and Maeve was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
For a minute there, I was a bit worried.
Sure.
For Maeve. I thought,
well,
Dolores looked pretty.
Yeah, like that she was going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And they're all in their final life now.
Yeah, that's right.
They've all got that same standard, right. Which means that we said goodbye to Angela, who blew herself up in the cradle.
Yeah, so the core,
And I was devastated because we had to say goodbye to Clementine.
I love her.
Me too.
Please, can she come back?
If you enjoy her work, there is a fantastic show from, I'm going to say 8 years ago, somewhere around there, called The Good Guys. And it's Colin Hanks, so Tom Hanks' son, with Bradley Whitford, who you would know from West Wing. And he was also one of the technicians in Cabin in the Woods.
I'd know his face if I saw it.
You
I'm
really
sure.
would.
Yeah.
Bradley is playing a very decorated 70s cop.
Yep.
Brown leather jacket, big moustache. No respect for anybody.
Beautiful.
Colin Hanks is the by-the-book modern guy.
That's who he is in most movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the two of them are paired up and going wacky hijinks. I think it was 20 episodes all up. Never got a second season, which was disappointing. But Clementine was the research nerd in the office who does get a moment of has the glasses and the hair up and gets the moment of taking the glass and the hair off, shaking the hair, and she's
movie
all that.
Moment. Yeah. It's all that.
Yeah. So that's where I first came to know her, and she's done some very interesting stuff since.
She's got a really interesting face.
Yep.
And is perfectly suited to be a host.
Mm-hmm.
That can still show emotions if need be.
Mm-hmm.
But she can do the blank face very well.
Yeah.
I'm upset, but I'm also not upset because now I know the direction.
Sure.
We saw her. She's in the digital Westworld. She's there. We haven't said goodbye to her forever.
Oh, the digital Westworld blew up.
Oh, it did too. But
he's now piggybacking on Bernard.
Yeah. And Dolores has got her dad's head, well, the egg.
Yeah, because she had to kill properly him
and
after his final lifetime.
And they're all in there, I assume.
You hope so.
They should be, otherwise.
Well, unless that's all the guest data.
It could be the guest data.
Because that's what they were saying. That the
I just assumed it was both.
Well, the hosts were control, and I think Hopkins is hanging on to the host information because he wants to push them forward while Hale's trying to get the guest information out.
So good.
William, were you worried that he was going to properly go?
Yep, I really was.
It did seem like
that. I was really worried about that.
His storyline's kind of it could be nipped in the bud now.
It got to that point where I thought, oh, he's not looking good, and he was still going on about stories.
Yeah,
and Maeve actually said to him, there was a scene where they were talking about this is not a story, this is not part of the game. And he was like, I'm playing the game.
Yeah. I think narratively he needs to have an abrupt nothingness death.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to enforce and impose meaning onto life, which we have learned for thousands of years in all sorts of texts that is the greatest foible and hubris that humanity can undertake, is trying to make sense of chaos.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't make sense of it.
No, and he's trying to do it on two separate planes, both in reality and the fake reality of Westworld. So I think comeuppance for him needs to be just dying alone in the desert.
We didn't see him die, though.
No.
He was still...
Oh, he's not dead.
Yeah.
He's coming back. Same with Maeve.
Maeve, of course, yeah.
Lawrence, I'm disappointed because he's awesome.
I know, but we had to lose...
Oh, we've got to pay back.
We had to lose
some
people. Yeah. I was very intrigued to see all the Bernards.
Yep.
And I was also trying to figure out the timeline for that.
So I sat down with a piece of paper
and a pencil. If you could, let's go through this.
So we finally, this week, saw We've been following three timelines. Yes. Present timeline, slightly further back, or half 1 week ago timeline, mm-hmm. and then 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
This week we finally saw 2 weeks and 1 week line up together.
Yep.
And the good way, the easy way to tell which is which when we're in the headquarters, if the military guy has a moustache,
yes.
that's a week ago.
Yep.
And he's now dead thanks to Teddy.
Yep.
If he's the tall shaved head guy,
yes.
that's today.
Okay.
So them finding the room of Bernard's mm-hmm. is the furthest along the series has gone.
Right.
They would do that, and then Hale sat down with proper Bernard, or whatever you call most recent Bernard,
yeah.
and is grilling him. That's the furthest the series has gone along.
Mm-hmm.
Everything other than that is past.
Okay.
Which is
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's okay.
You.
It's confusing.
No, I've got that now.
I had to nut it out myself as well because it was.
I was if I had given myself extra time, I would have watched the episode again simply because I was not quite sure where that room of Bernard sat in the timeline. So that makes sense.
That was connected to the room that Ford made Bernard kill mm-hmm. the lady.
Yep.
And that was Ford's secret tinker room.
Yes.
So it makes sense that was his Arnold laboratory.
Yeah, yeah. It makes total sense. We've only got a few episodes left of...
Three more, 8, 9, 10.
They're just going to ramp up.
Yep.
Which I don't even see how that's going to be a thing, but...
What do you think the end of the season's going to be?
I think we're going to see the ocean, but it's more like a lake of the bodies.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be explained a little bit, enough for us to go, oh, okay, I think that's where we're going to get up to. And then Bernard is going to be in a hell of a lot of danger because I think either he has had something to do with it or else they're going to suspect he's had something to do with it. Because he has been very close to being in a lot of trouble
or
a lot of times.
He physically did it without being in control.
Yeah, that too.
Because Ford is in
Ford
him.
Is in him like there's no tomorrow
and
now.
He made that very pointed line of, I'll take the reins. You can have free will, but just not right now.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Such a good show.
Yep.
Fear the Walking Dead was on again this week after its quick Memorial Day holiday. It felt very part one. That last bit, though, where they drive into the stadium, I went,
oh, boy. I think there were more walkers in there than we saw around the sanctuary.
So many walkers. A lot of CGI. I was watching one of them. I went, did the intern do that one?
Sure.
Because the further we've gone in this season, I've been convinced that Madison is in there. And that it...
Trapped in there.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a clever... I didn't think of that. That's nice.
So
you reckon they'll go in to find the stuff in the infirmary now and she might still be in
and
there?
And she'll be in there with the rations because there was a mention, I think she said...
They got rations for weeks.
Yeah, we've got rations for weeks because Nick had said, we've got to wait for the crops to grow. And she said, don't worry about it, we've got rations for weeks. And if she's the only one eating the rations...
Have a good feed.
Yeah, exactly.
John's in a rough way.
John's really in a rough way. And I did like the shift. They've shifted back, like you mentioned, it felt like we're sort of earlier on in the season, where Alicia, the Alicia group, I'll call them, now I've gone back to being the bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Because I'm more on board with anywhere John is.
Yeah.
That's a good guy group.
I'm on board with this new crew a lot more.
Yeah.
I thought there was some very interesting stuff going on with Maggie Grace, with the camerawoman, of not wanting to be involved, willing to let people die for the story. That's good.
She's very standoffish.
That's a very unique character trait.
Never seen that before.
No.
In the Walking Dead universe. I wonder if we're going to get any backstories from her. Like, has she filmed her own story?
Sure. Well, look, we'll have to get something eventually, but I could see them waiting until the second half of the season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Pull back the layers on her.
Which won't be that far off. I think that's got three episodes as well. Maybe two? No, might be two because of... I can't remember what we're up to. No, I think this was episode six, so yeah, we will have two. Yeah, we'll have two more. Whew, and that will obviously end with a cliffhanger, but I think that cliffhanger is they'll find Madison.
Or we'll see Madison being snatched and taken off.
Even better.
Then we could see the second half of wondering where she is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just going by their track record of...
doing stuff and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just had a sudden thought. What if Andrew Lincoln is leaving The Walking Dead to go and run in the steps of Morgan, and then we end up having a Rick-tatorship in Fear the Walking Dead? Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen.
I'm really on board with that not happening.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
Handmaids, of course, last episode ended with a huge explosion.
Yes.
Obvious there were many deaths, and we did sort of see Handmaid's funeral, and obviously a lot of commanders had died as well. But what interests me about this world is that we're probably maybe 5 years into Gilead, I'm guessing, something like that, maybe not even. There are all these new rituals that go with Gilead, like everybody has to say blessed day.
Okay.
You know, the greetings are all different. And, you know, the handmaid's job is very much a ritual. And their funeral service was nothing like we would ever have in our modern day world, which is what they've based the previous world off.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how many rituals, including the teenage bride marriage ritual we got to see as well. The whole thing is it's just filled with rituals. I think, geez, I hope they made a handbook of these because I would forget everything. But interesting, we did see Mrs. Waterford taking over.
Mm-hmm.
She's been forging documents.
Ooh.
And the bad guy from Far Cry 5 is a bad guy in Handmaid's Tale.
Mm.
And they had to quickly stitch him up as part of a terrorist explosion, the explosion, because he was getting too close to the truth. They did stitch him up, but now he knows for sure that they had something to do with it.
Okay.
I think that's going to come back and bite them.
Yep.
And we'll of course soon find out as the season goes on. But it was interesting watching the two women being in charge of these forged documents.
Mm-hmm.
You had June and you had Swaterford. And women are not in charge of anything in this show.
Sure.
So, super interesting.
Nice.
Episode. This is a great. I just love these worlds. So we've got Westworld, we've got Fear the Walking Dead, we've got Handmaid's Tale. They're all dystopian, but they're all really different dystopian worlds. And I'm on board with anything that says this is what the world used to look like, which is similar to what we live in now, and we've shifted it, and this is what has happened. I'm all about that. You give me one of those stories and I'll watch it.
I'll absolutely
watch it. Are you ready for a quiz?
So ready!
This quiz is called Close But No Cigar, who almost played these characters.
Close But No Cigar.
We'll see how good you are at this.
That's my favourite Weird Al Yankovic song.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's a cake homage.
There's nothing about Weird Al in this.
Oh, that's all right. We can do that another time.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, the first movie, Iron Man, who was going to play Tony Stark?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that would have been horrible.
Wouldn't it?
I wouldn't have liked that.
He would have done his own stunts.
Yes.
He would have run as Iron Man.
He wouldn't have been able to do the jokes that Robert Downey Jr. does.
No.
All right, what about Neo from The Matrix? This one I remember. Oh, wasn't originally Keanu.
I want to say someone like Ethan Hawke.
No, they were going to go a completely different way. Mm. Will Smith was their first pick.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah. I'm glad they went with Keanu.
That would have been a lot more charismatic.
Way more charismatic, and you didn't need Neo to be charismatic.
No.
It's not what he was.
He's a cipher.
What about Vivian Ward from Pretty Woman, so the Julia Roberts' character?
I want to say someone left field like Bette Midler.
She would have been awesome. It was quite left field, at least for me. Molly Ringwald.
Sure.
From Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles.
I could see her doing that. That'd be a career shift.
It would have been a real career shift. I wonder what happened.
The 90s.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. What about Morpheus from The Matrix? Another Matrix one. This one was going to go to someone completely different to Lawrence Fishburne.
And this is against Will Smith?
Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
Look, you're not far off. It was actually pitched to Sean Connery.
Sure.
How different would that film have been? Will Smith, Sean Connery in The Matrix.
I do not like that.
No.
One bit.
I'm so happy with who they went with.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about Sean Connery.
Mm.
Dr. No, that James Bond movie.
Mm.
Was that the first one? I think it was the first one. I can't remember. But it they wanted somebody else. Now, this somebody else was sort of in the golden age of Hollywood.
Didn't they want Frank Sinatra or Dean Lewis or something?
Ooh, once again, you're super close. Cary Grant.
That would have been amazing.
He was English, so sure. He could have done the English accent.
I would have been on board with that.
I'm actually surprised they didn't go with him.
Yeah.
Maybe he said no in the end, but he would have been a perfect Bond. He was suave, sophisticated, handsome, always wore a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, final one. Now, this is Tyler from The Fight Club. Fight Club,
sure.
Made famous by Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Was originally going to be played by someone who doesn't look anything like Brad Pitt.
Steve Buscemi.
Once again, not far off. Sean Penn.
Oh. I hate Sean Penn so fucking much.
Where would the charisma have been? Oh. It just would have been anger.
He was great as Spicoli in Fast Times at
Ridgemont
High.
I got that.
After that, he needed a dick. I do not ever want to see I Am Sam again. I don't want to
Hey, here's a really bad movie if you ever find it. It's probably a bit difficult to find now. It was around the time that Sean Penn was married to Madonna and they made a movie together called Shanghai Surprise. It is terrible.
Is that any better or worse than the one that she made with Guy Ritchie where she was on the beach?
And
she was married to Guy Ritchie.
Oh.
And I think it was with Rupert Everett and they were playing a couple and no one believed any of it.
No, it was just as bad. She's not, I mean, don't get me wrong, Madonna's a star. She's a superstar,
she's
not an actress. She's tried.
Dick Tracy, she had a go.
Yeah, she did have a go. She's a little better at that because she didn't have as much to say.
She's the only person that didn't get to wear a big, weird block prosthetic.
Big head. She did have a... She wore not even a mask. I think she just wrapped a scarf around her head. She missed it. Anyway.
Be gone, Madonna.
Yeah. Particularly after her last trip to Australia.
Really, she flew here with her arms.
Yeah. Haven't you seen
them?
The muscles?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need stupid aeroplanes getting her way.
Yeah.
Far out. That's going to do it for this episode. Tom, thank you very much.
Oh, my utmost pleasure.
Right back at you, champ.
Thanks, champ.